now we have the letter F.
Okay.
Let's see what you like. I have forecasting.
Okay.
Future. Fashion Week. Or Fringe.
Oh, those are good ones. This one is going to be hard because there's a few. Can you say them again?
Sure. Forecasting.
Okay.
Future.
Right.
Fashion Week. Or Fringe.
Great. So I want to talk about future.
F is for future.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like what a lot of people are grappling with during this pandemic is, what is the future of the fashion industry? What are we looking at? So when you look at trends, which kind of ties in your other F word, which is forecasting, I'm really kind of excited because we've been for the last, I would say, 3 to 5 years in the space of athleisure wear. Thank you, Lululemon. And we've been in the space of streetwear, right? So everything has been very comfortable and very not fancy. I can't think of a word, but like much more palatable. It's been like a lot of like sweatpants and sneakers, and it's been great. But the thing about fashion is that it moves in cycles, right? So we weren't going to stay in streetwear for forever. I think before the pandemic, we were starting to shift out of athleisure wear. We started to notice ruffles. We started to notice sequins. We started to notice lace. We started to notice a lot of like acrylamide and tulle and all that wonderfulness, right? But that kind of got thwarted by Corona because now everyone's back into their sweatpants. Teen Vogue, which I think is one of the most powerful fashion publications that we have now because of their political lens, they wrote a really great article at the beginning of the pandemic where they looked at other catastrophic global pandemics, Spanish flu, the two world wars. And what they found is after those cataclysmic events were over, people were so excited to dress up, right? They were so excited to get back to being fancy. And I myself, I'm so tired of not wearing makeup. I really enjoyed sweats for the first 6 months. Now I'm like, I would love to wear a skirt. I have all this clothes in my closet I can't wear. And I think the future of fashion after this pandemic is going to be a resurgence of kind of fancy wear, like really dressing up, really going over the top. When I think about the future of the fashion industry, I also think about this increased emphasis on diversity and inclusion. So not only hiring minorities to be in these spaces where they were typically not allowed into, but allowing them to have a voice in those spaces, hearing their voices heard. And I think I also think that we're going to have a shift from these big luxury multinational corporations to much more localized experiences. I think being forced to stay home has made us connect not only with our home, but our neighborhood in a different way because we haven't had the ability to jump on a plane and go somewhere else and be fabulous, right? So there's like this newfound appreciation for like, what's my hood? Like I haven't left New York, even though my family is in Florida, because I feel like I need to stand by New York the same way I would like a friend who's down, like having a bad time. So I think that the very global kind of corporate lens that we've been looking through, especially in fashion for the last few years, it's going to become much more localized. So there's going to be an opportunity for local, smaller minority designers to step in, right? Funny enough, today, there is a bag company called Telfar, T-E-L-F-A-R. It's a Black-owned purse company. They've been operating for a few years. And now, because of the pandemic and BLM, they are the new kind of like the Black Birkin. And it's so, during the pandemic, they've done a whole bunch of drops of new products and they've sold out because people are kind of like, I want that thing. This is a small little operation. Like they sell out because they have low minimums. They're not making 1,000 bags like Coach, like Birkin, but because of the fact that they have limited team, limited resources, it's created this kind of like mystery and like, I want to get this Telfar back, but they're trending today because they had a drop today. And I think that's where the shift is going to be. Back in the day where people were like, I have to have a Birkin. Now people are like, I have to have a Telfar. And there's white influencers like the Gigi, the Hadids, they're carrying this bag. Dua Lipa's carrying this bag. So I think that this is a forerunner for the future of fashion in the sense that we're going to start looking at smaller brands and giving them street cred in ways that we won't. And bigger brands are going to have to prove to us as consumers that they're worth our fandom, right? Like, we have fanatically been following these luxury brands for years, even when they have been disrespectful to our community. Look at Gucci. Black people love Gucci. Gucci is a number one cultural appropriator. So when you think about it, because we're kind of tired of the same old within the fashion industry, the future is going to be fancy, but it's also going to be diverse and it's also going to be local. And I'm super excited to see these communities step up to fill this space. One of the things I was really promoting on Instagram during this pandemic was the 15% challenge. So the 15% challenge was a call from amazing Black designers to have big retailers make space on their shelves for Black producers, right? So because Americans are about 15% of the population, Black Americans are the 15% of the American population, they said your shelves should be 15% Black producers, manufacturers and producers. I went a step further and I was encouraging people that your closet should be 15% Black people, right? And I'm a person who lives and breathes fashion and Black people. Like, that's my jam. And when I did an audit of my closet, even though I work with Black boutiques and buy a lot of clothing from them, my closet was kind of racist, right? So I think moving forward, what we have to be committed to is having as diverse closets as we have diversity within the world, right? And that doesn't stop with Black people. That's with Hispanics. That's with Asians. Like, it astounded me how white my closet was. And not white because I was looking to shop for white people, but white because there's this hegemonic idea, like, white is the standard. White brands are the standard. Like, Zara is the standard. H&M, which is Asian, is a standard. Forever 21, which is Asian, is a standard. But those are not explicitly Asian brands, right? They're kind of like not global brands. When we start to have this more localized focus, hopefully we'll start to have more diversity in the brands that we're willing to support, and our closets will become diverse because they really aren't. And it's only because we have been programmed to see white as normalized. And therefore, when we're shopping white, I'm not thinking I'm shopping white. I just think this is where everybody shops. And I think now if we can put a more cultural focus and intentionally be thoughtful about the kind of producers that we're supporting, it has to result in more diversity in our closet. And so that's what I'm really hoping is a future for fashion. More diverse closets, less racist shop closets, and more willingness to take the time to find those lesser known, smaller brands who don't have the marketing capital that big brands do. It's a little bit more work, but I have found in the last few months, I'm finding better products. I'm finding more unique products. I'm finding products that reflect my values more. And I'm finding business owners that I feel personally connected to. I'm never going to feel connected to the guy in Spain who started Zara. Like, me and him, we have nothing in common, but a majority of my closet is Zara. So I would like to start reflecting in my closet people who I have things in common with.